Before we jump into this episode, we wanted to remind you that we swear a lot as we go through this and that we'll be talking about different subjects that may be triggering to some listeners, such as domestic violence, sexual assault, covert control, sex, and overall R-rated material. We won't be talking in depth about most of these things in each episode, and if we are, we will give you a trigger warning before we delve into something too deep. But we wanted to start each episode with saying, look after your own mental health, and if it's not worth it today, don't listen to the episode.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah,
I just okay. You just went
my
quiet.
Head just
and no. I have hypersensitivity from trauma.
Yeah, I have the same. Sometimes you go quiet and I'm like, I wait a couple of seconds before I say anything, but you're like completely quiet. And then I wait to see if you say something. And then you like, you come back and then you answer straight away.
Sometimes I'm just processing. So I didn't tell you this, but one girl said on the Something Was Wrong group that she's finding it hard to follow the plot because there are side conversations. And this is just one girl. And what I wanted to say is that it's a cool story if you read it in a sentence, but it's not a short story. And Naomi and I just met and we're processing this trauma in real time and thought that other women could benefit from this or that in some way we should record this process. So there's a lot of information here and we're sharing it with each other. Some of the initial stories we had shared with each other before we decided to do this, but most of this we're hearing for the first time as well. So
yeah,
we're going to take you down twists and turns. We're going to have to circle back to things. And right now we're going to circle back to when Dick met Naomi's mum for the first time. But if you're here to process trauma with us and hear about the minutiae of being in a narcissistic, abusive relationship and all of the salacious things that go with that, because there are very juicy details, that's what this is, but it's not going to be a one-episode scripted series. Like, you know.
No. Yeah. Like, I just, yeah, we even talked about this. Like, if we want to cover everything from like start to finish, I was with him for 5 years and you were with him for what, 5 years?
Yeah.
That's like 10 years in total of like history with him. And then we also want to go through the whole trauma of dealing with the aftermath, basically, dealing with. What are we left with today when it comes to like financially, like me having to go to court? Like there's so much in between. And like
yeah,
I broke up with him.
It is going to be a long convoluted story. So to that one person, we're sorry, but you know, either buckle up for the long haul or we can't give you a short scripted. We're processing this.
Yeah, or if you're one of those listening to one episode here and one episode there, then that's fine too. But if you want the whole story, then listen from episode one till we're done, whenever that's going to be.
Yeah. Because, okay, let's get into it. All right, tell us about when you met your mom.
Yeah, okay, so this is like early days. I think it even happened before we decided we were together. But I'm not 100% sure. So don't take my word for that exactly when it happened. But we're talking like I met him like August, September, like I think I met him like end August and we started dating maybe a month later, so end September. So this is like October sometime. I don't remember. Anyway, I had a plan, I had plans with my mum. My mum lived a couple of hours away, so she was going to come visit me for the weekend or something like that. She was going to Oslo I think even with my sister, I don't remember, but at least my mum, she was coming to visit. And my friend was already there, the one I talked about earlier with the baby. And like a couple of days before, when it was still just me and him, I said, okay, but my friend is coming. If you want to meet her, that's fine. Like, if you're okay with babies and all that.
We already talked about that.
Yeah. And then there was the conversation of, but my mum is also coming. She's not going to stay here for like the same amount of time as my friend, but she's coming for like, she's going to sleep over one day or something. So there'd be like a day or two where she's here and we're going to go out. She wants to meet my friend. This is my childhood friend from like we were tiny. So my mum knows her very well and I know her parents very well. So obviously she wanted to see her and see the baby and all that. So I was like, I'm fine with you meeting my mum if you want to, but it's a little bit early. I don't know. I don't really know how to do this. And I told him, like, I haven't had any boyfriends that met my parents, you know? Maybe they met my parents without my parents knowing that they were my boyfriend or whatever. But then we're talking, like, childhood boyfriend, which, again, we talked about. You can't really count that as a adult relationship. So yeah, anyway, I told my mum, no, I told Dick that if you want to meet her, that's okay, but I don't know, maybe it's too early and we'll wait. And he's like, nah, all mums love me.
He said that to me too.
Yeah, like, your mum is gonna love me, it's fine. And I'm like, yeah, sure, she will. Obviously it was love bombing, so I'm like, yeah, I'm sure she's gonna like you, it's fine. And I remember I called my cousin. This was before I told my mom about him. Because she's my age. She's a year older. But we were very close growing up and like basically like siblings. And she had an older boyfriend at the time. And before that she had dated an older guy that was like 5 to 10 years older. I don't really remember at the top of my head, but like close to 10 years age gap. And between me and Dick there was a 14 year age gap. So I remember I called him and I was like, hey, listen, I need to ask you something. She's like, yeah, what? She's like my big sister sometimes. I can always ask her, go to her for any questions like boyfriend related. And I was like, okay, so how did you tell your mum that you were dating somebody so much older than you? And how did she take it? She's like, okay, well, you got to give me some background here. And I'm like, okay, well, I have a boyfriend, but he's 14 years older than me. And I'm like a little bit afraid to tell my mum and like how she's going to react. Because, you know, she's going to be like, oh, this is an old man. Like, what the fuck are you doing? But yeah, I had a good conversation with her and she's like, oh, you just got to tell her, it's fine. Like, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you need to be happy. It doesn't matter what your mum thinks. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. But like giving me the courage to like tell my mum. So I messaged my mum. I was like, hey, when you're coming this weekend, I have somebody I want you to meet. And she's like, oh, okay, who's this? Like being like a proper mum, like, who's this, what are you talking about? Obviously she understood that I was talking about a boyfriend, but she's like trying to play cool. Super awkward conversation. So I'm like, yeah, I have a boyfriend. And I was like, straight away I was like, he's a bit older than me. She's like, what do you mean a bit older? She probably thought at that moment that I was dating some 60-year-old rich dude or something. She's like, she became a gold digger. I wish that's what happened.
I know.
I became a sugar mum for an older dude instead.
I know. Little did you know.
If there's any sugar daddies out there, please. I'm blonde. Yeah. I'm still in my 20s. I'm still holding on to my 20s for dear life. And I'm blue eyes and I'm, you know, whatever. I'll be whatever you need. I just need some money. No. Okay. Yeah, so she probably thought I was dating like this, like, old dude. But then at this point, Dick was in his end 30s. I think he was like 37, mid to end 30s, you know, 14 years older. She's like, okay, well, he's a bit older than you, but that's fine. As long as he's nice, that's fine, you know. She didn't really think
too much about the fact.
Yeah. So the day comes where he's gonna meet her and he's like, well, you Norwegians, you don't do this. So you're like, if you ever had a boyfriend before, he would have never done this. But I'm like, I'm proper, I'm raised right, like I know what I'm doing. So he went out, he bought a bottle of wine or something for my mum and then some flowers, and he was like asking me, like, what does your mum like alcohol wise and I was like, oh, I think wine is fine. Like, she doesn't really drink alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Like, barely ever. So, like, if just buy her red wine, because I know sometimes she'll have a glass of red wine. So that's nice, I think. So he went out, bought a bottle of red wine. He was telling me, like, oh, it's this good, expensive red wine. I don't know if that was a lie or not because I wasn't there. And then he bought some flowers. It's like that, you know, he's, like, trying to, like, love bomb her as well.
Right.
Because this is, like, one of the people he needs to like him, you know? This is one of those people where he's actually trying. My mum's asking questions to him, like, trying to get, like, some background, like, who are you? And he's, like, he barely says anything about himself. Like, if you meet him, you won't get any information out of him.
Right. Yeah, you're so right. You never learn anything about him. Yeah.
Never. And I remember, like, a couple of years into the relationship, my mum or my stepdad or somebody came to me and they were like, do you realize that we know nothing about him? We know that he's Polish, but he's raised in Australia, that he moved there when he was, like, what, 7 or 10? We don't even know. There's something about he lived after Poland, he lived somewhere that we don't know, and then he moved to Australia, you know? And I'm like, yeah, but he told you all of this. And they're like, no, he never answers. Like, we barely even know exactly how old he is because he doesn't give information. We know nothing about his family or his parents or if he's Catholic like most Polish people are. And, like, we don't know these things.
Yeah, you're right. That's so strange.
Yeah, and that's, we're talking, like, maybe 2 years into the relationship and still they don't knew nothing about it. You know, I think they barely even knew his name because he doesn't use his name. He uses his name, but he doesn't use his name.
Like, his real name, because his real name is a long name. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it, like, I think they barely even knew his full long name, you know, only his, like, nickname, let's call it that, or his, like, English name, you know.
They didn't know that his name was Richard. They only knew him by Dick.
So, yeah, they told me, like, we don't even know anything about him. So I was trying to tell them, but in the back of my head, I knew I wasn't allowed to tell them. Mm-hmm. So I was basically giving them as little information as possible, basically doing exactly the same thing he had been doing, not giving any information at all, you know, because I knew I wasn't allowed. I don't know if you recognize that. You're not allowed to tell anything.
Yeah.
Everything is a secret. Nobody needs to know his business.
No one needs to know his business, yeah.
Mm. And, yeah, so he's, like, giving my mom flowers and wine and, like, trying to be all sweet and nice and, like, putting on this, like, picture of him being this good guy, this proper guy, you know? And a couple hours in, I think we're, like, she's going to the hotel for the night or we're going to bed for something like that, you know, saying goodbye for that night and then we'll see you, you know, in the morning or something like that. And my mum, like, gives me a hug and, like, everything is normal. And then she turns to him and she looks him, like, dead in the eye. And she's like, I'm watching you. And then she's like, good night. And then she walks off.
Yeah.
Because she just felt that there's something odd with him. Something's wrong. Yeah. Yeah. Literally, that's how, what she felt. And I know this because I've talked with her, like, years later about that time. And we always laughed about that time. She was like, I'm watching you, like, you know. But it wasn't, she didn't say it in a funny way. She, like, meant it, like.
Mm-hmm.
And she even said something about, like, if you ever hurt her, you know, I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
And my mom's like this little Norwegian woman. Like, she's not, we're not that tiny. Like, I'm 172 and she's, like, 170 or something, so we're quite tall, but, like, she's quite skinny, and, you know, and then she's like, I'm coming for you if you ever hurt her, you know.
Yeah.
So she just straight away knew that there was something wrong with him, but she never, like, she didn't really tell me until, like, I think she always tried. She would always be like, hey, how are you, how's it going, like, you know, digging a bit more than she would normally while I was with him. But I didn't give her any information. So, you know, you with your son, like, if you see somebody that are a little bit creepy, you're gonna get those red flags, you know. You're gonna be like, keep an extra eye on him or something, you know.
Yeah, of course.
And I think that's what she was doing. And it was just thinking back to that time where it's like, I have this, like, clear picture of my mum talking to him. And then it's like a full day of conversations at first. I remember him, like, giving her flowers and wine and all that. And then I have no idea what happened that day. And then in the evening when we're leaving or she's leaving or whatever, then it's like, I'm watching you. If you ever hurt her, I'm coming for you, you know? Mm-hmm. And she kept that up for years, like, throughout the relationship. She would always, like, if he acted in a certain way or if he said something, my mom would give him, like, that look that, you know, watch yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Not in my house. Let me just say, like, my parents aren't together. Like, they split up when I was, like, 4 years old or something, 3 or 4. So I don't remember my parents being together. That's why they didn't meet him at the same time. They're friends and, like, everything was good. But your parents are still together.
Yeah, my parents are still together. And they
met him
together. They met him. My mom was suspicious immediately. My dad liked him in the beginning. Basically, the first time they met him, I had told my mom I had a boyfriend. I said, and she was like, yeah, well, I know you've been missing for a couple of weeks, so that makes sense, you know. And then one night, you know, he was living in a share house with two friends, and we know there was a lot of drinking early in the relationship, and he wanted to get some more alcohol, and there was a bottle of whiskey at my parents' house that I had, maybe someone had gifted it to me or something. I don't drink brown liquor, so that's why I just had it, you know, as I was never going to drink it. That's why I think it was a gift. Anyway, and I was like, oh, I have some at home, but there's, like, a million stores in between. I don't know why we wouldn't have just gone to buy. And he was like, let's stop by there and grab it. And I was like, oh, my whole family's home. You know, I still lived at home. My best friend and I were about to move out. I think we had just signed a lease. Never got to spend a night there alone with her. But I was still at home at this point. And so, you know, let's stop by there and get it. You know, oh, no problems. No, parents love me or whatever. And they came and we walked. It was like a rush, you know, we, like, rushed in and, like, went into my bedroom and I grabbed the bottle and we were leaving. And I didn't want
it felt weird to me, like, why are we doing this now? And this is a weird thing to meet about. So that's why I was like, oh, I'm just grabbing something, you know, like hoping they were busy and sort of like my parents, like there were no rules. I could go out for days on an end and come home. They knew I was safe. And if I was in trouble that I would call them. And because there were no rules, like there was no risk, you know, like if I,
yeah,
I would always just call them. So for me to like come home, grab something, there'd be someone with me who might be a friend or, you know, nothing. So I just thought we'll just whisk in and out and have this be like, oh, Caitlin stopped by. Oh, I don't know who that is. Maybe we'll meet them and they'll, you know.
And, yeah.
Anyway, so he, you know, of course shakes my dad's hand and everything. And mum's like confused. She's like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, we're just getting this. And she was like, okay. And so we got the bottle of liquor and left. But that's how he met them. And and then my dad liked him in the beginning because I had anorexia when I met Dick, and I was on my way out of it. I remember a very distinctive moment where he helped me with this, and I was like, okay, well, I'm off to the gym. And he looked at me and said, do you go to the gym to be skinny or do you go to the gym to be healthy? And I had, and it had never occurred to me before that you would go to be healthy. And like, I remember driving in the car and everything. And this has obviously stayed with me until today. Like, why do you go to the gym? So that strangers think you're good looking, or are you going to better yourself? And that was a real turning point for me. And so I remember talking about that moment with Dad, and I was starting to eat again. And I was on my way out. I'd been in help for a year for this, and I had weekly doctor's appointments where they checked my weight and made sure I was putting on weight every week. So I was truly on my way out. But he rode the coattails of my success out of that as he helped me out of it.
Right.
And so my dad was always really grateful for that. Like, you know, in a moment where none of us could reach her, that he was able to help you through this thing that was beyond any of us. And, you know, it's just plainly not the truth, but he quite liked him in the beginning for that. My mum never liked him. She tolerated him. And my mum and I have this really empathic relationship where we don't have to say anything to each other. I always knew and nothing was ever said, you know. And my little brother didn't like him because he was mean to him. And my older brother sort of, they had this weird relationship because Dick was older than me. There is this thing of when you have an older brother, right, and you're the same, you're the middle, you have an older brother. And I remember when you told, you know, when you were talking about your sibling or whatever, noting that this was the same for us, in that you have this older brother who you've looked up to, and, you know, suddenly there's someone in your life who's older than them. And so for them, it's this weird dynamic too, where they're meeting this person who's 5 years older than them. So they don't, they have this weird, like, their authority of being the big brother and protector is somewhat shifted, right?
Yeah.
And it's this weird, because they're so much older than he, I don't know how to explain it. So
I get what you mean. I don't know how to explain it either, but I think a lot of people will understand what you're trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was, that was sort of the dynamic with my family. And then when we moved to America, you know, he isolated me from my family in Australia, everything. I remember when I was leaving to overseas with him, we had no idea where we were going to live, but we were going to travel around America for a road trip first and then go to Europe and sort of work it all out. And so my mum, she's American, and she, you know, obviously lives in Australia and left when she was young and has never looked back. She loves it here. And so she was unable to ever express any hesitation about me moving, one, because I wouldn't have been open to it and I would have caused a divide, but two, because how could she say anything? She left her family and moved overseas when she was very young, you know, she can't really say anything. And so I had a very open moment with her before I left, where I broke down to her at her house and I was crying and I was saying, I just feel so stuck. And we both knew exactly what I was talking about, but did not talk about it. But she would just looked at me and she was like, honey, you are not stuck. Like, whatever it is, like, you know, we can work it out. And if you don't want to go overseas, you don't have to go overseas. But in my mind, there was no way that I, why didn't I just not go? Like, but there was no option for me to not go. I remember feeling like, I don't want to move overseas. I don't want to leave everything. And I've already lost all of my friends and family. And I really don't. And I'm scared of him. And, you know, then it's just going to be me and him. And what, driving around a country, like on a road trip, like, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
But I felt like I had to. And she reassured me and was very, very good in that moment. Let me know, you know, basically that I'm not stuck and that she's here whenever I need her. But she knew she couldn't say any much more than that. And then I remember, well, we moved to America. He made me get a flip phone and didn't think it was important for my parents to have any of my contact details. So they could only contact me via email and they had no idea where in the world I was. And that went like that for probably about 2 years, where I would email them and be like, oh, no, we live in Poland now. Or, you know.
God, did you have your phone number?
No. I wasn't allowed to give it to them. And
did they ever react to the fact that they didn't have your phone number?
They didn't like it.
Mm.
They also...
So you weren't reachable. You were like, I was unreachable. I'm not going to give it.
And my parents are also, you know, as I explained earlier with the no rules, all of that, like they're very open parents in like, there's two different ways to love, right? It's the best way I can explain this. There's people who love who close their hand on yours, like Dick does, like you are locked in now and I'm loving you and tell me what you're doing and I'm going to check and you ask me before you go do something. Mm. Or there's love where you have your hand completely open. You say, I'm here with my hand open. And you can put your hand on mine if you like, you know, and as long as you want to walk this path with me, we'll walk together. But I'm no way. That's sort of the way that my parents approach love and relationships, which is a really good way, is like you should never lock anyone into anything. Like you're going along this path and if you want to continue in that path together, great. And thinking about life in chapters and all kinds of things like that. Anyway.
But that's more like... That's what I would say is like unconditional love.
Unconditional love.
But
they have this
Dick's thing. Love is like
is he's got that.
He has a lot of conditions.
Yeah, a lot of conditions.
And you need to follow them.
In your hands. But
yeah,
I
like that explanation with like the closed hand and the open hand.
And so they are always just open hand, like, you know, I could go out and party and it didn't matter. Like, people were like, aren't your parents going to wonder where you are? I'm like, no, because if I was unsafe, they would know. Like, they would have already heard about it. And my dad has this saying, and because all three of us kids I've been going to America by myself since I was, like, maybe 13. Like, because we're an international family, travel is very normal for us. And dad has this saying, which most parents, you think, your little baby's on the other side of the world. Did they touch down? Is the plane okay? Right. I'll text my dad and, you know, he's hilarious, but like you'll say, I landed. And he's like, yeah, well, I would have seen it on the news if a United airplane, went, you know, like, you know, like,
I assume. If you didn't. Yeah.
And he has this saying where he says, no news is good news. So like, say his oldest son will go to Japan and people be like, have you heard from him? How's it going? He's like, I haven't heard a word. And he'll have the biggest smile because he knows that means nothing's going wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for him, fine, look, off she is, traveling the world. She's on a road trip. She doesn't want her parents bothering her.
Yeah.
That's what he thought. Yeah.
You have a boyfriend. You're just enjoying life.
That's what he thought.
Mm.
So it bothered them that they didn't have a phone number, but not too much. They would have preferred to have it, but, you know.
Have you spoken to your parents about this afterwards? like now, recent days after you and me started talking, or like when you broke up with him? Have you like had like a proper chat with him that you want to share or are comfortable with sharing?
Well, I think over time they've realized, right? When I left Dick, I messaged my dad and I said, just respond yes or no to this message. I'm going to delete it. And you delete it too. Not that that mattered. But I was like, will you financially help me get out of this marriage? And if so, I'll call you tomorrow and we'll make a plan or something like that. And he just wrote back yes. And when I called him, he was like, thank God, how are we doing it? Like, there was no questions. So there's...
I'm about to cry because I know, like, the heartache you were dealing with back then, and I just know, like, how scared you must have been to even send that the message to your dad, even though you know, like, in your heart of hearts, you know your dad is always going to be there for you, but, like, reaching out that hand and, like, asking for help and when you're so deep into the shit. It's so fucking painful.
It's painful, and part of it is that you're not even really sure that you're going to leave yet. And if you tell them and go back, because that was also part of it. So we've done this, I escape in the middle of the night, and then he, over the next 24 hours, convinces me to come back, and I spent another week with him before I left again for the second time. And during that week, you know, he's love bombing, love bombing, love bombing, and I was thinking, how am I going to tell my parents that we're back together, you know, like, and they are like, how are you going? How is, and I'm like, good. Like, it was just the most head fuck of a week. And I remember thinking, and I think we've spoken about this previously, but I was like, you're fucking free. What are you doing? Like, you just got out. Why are you back in this? And how am I going to tell my parents? But it's part of reaching out to my dad was like, hey, I want to get out of this relationship. And he, right, his response is, thank God, how are we doing it? Right. He knows he's been waiting for this call. Now I have to commit to that. It's not me. I'm saying, okay, let's do it. And I'm done. And I'm trusting you. And you pick me up and lift me up and take me away from him, because you're not. The manipulation to stay is so strong that to even tell anyone that you're leaving, you don't even believe yourself that you're leaving. You want to.
Yeah.
So that's part of it as well, is that if you say this to someone, I remember telling my friend Anne when we lived in Norway that, you know, I broke up with him one night there, and then he pulled out a ring that he was... He said, if you, I confronted him because he would just put in some breadcrumbs. I confronted him because he had been in years long relationships with other girls as a catfish. That's a Brazilian guy. And I broke up with him, and he rummaged through his bag and found an engagement ring that his mother had purchased for me. and said, if you were such a good investigator, you would have found this, and threw it at me. Now, he'd had this ring forever. He had no intentions of giving it to me anytime soon, or he would have done it. His mum had bought it a year ago.
Yeah. Well, he was waiting for that.
He was waiting for a moment to use it.
When do I need to pull her back?
I had told, you know, Anne at this moment about, I didn't think I'd told her he was catfishing, but I said he was talking to girls online, and she was like, just what are you doing with this guy? Like, she hated him. And she'd known him forever, 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 forever. They'd traveled together in their 20s. She used to date one of his best friends. And so she'd known him forever. She's had always hated him. And or maybe liked him in the beginning, whatever. But, you know, when I told her, we haven't had sex in 4 years, and she was like, what? And then you can't, then you feel like you're dumb if you're like, yeah, still putting up with it. Right. So you're just like, oh no, we had a chat and we fixed it. Right. Or you like, I,
how do you fix that? You know, that's
right. And she knew that we didn't. She was like, oh, good. I'm so glad. Right. Or like with the, like, the talking to girls thing, and I'm like, oh no, he's like, he's going to completely stop or whatever. But it's like, I wanted to leave. She knew I wanted to leave. We both knew he was doing this. And yet I was then, would then lie to cover it all up and be like, no, because I can't explain what the feeling of, like, why don't you just, like, even I was thinking about this when you were talking about when he's messaging you when he was in Australia and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, why don't you just, like, he's on the other side of the world, just block him and you never have to talk to him ever again. Like, it's so simple, right? But just it feels...
cut the cord, yeah.
It feels impossible to not answer him when he's screaming at you via text. And that is just the level of control. I've gone on a million tangents, sorry.
No, no, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, no... I agree with everything, and like it's so hard to leave, even though you want to leave, it's so hard to leave. I remember, so I broke up with him end summer 2020, but like before Christmas 2019, I remember I was in the kitchen with my mum at my mum's house, and it was only me and her at home. We were making dinner or something, and she was like, you know, why are you here? Because it was only me there. And she's like, why are you here? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, what's going on? And it was coming from a place of love, and I don't remember like exactly the words she was saying. But I'm like, she's like, what's going on? What's wrong? I know he's not being nice to you. Just please, just tell me. I can help you. And she was like trying so hard to like reach out to me and for me to just be, she's like, please be reachable, you know? And I just broke down crying. And I was like, he's not nice. And I was like, but he doesn't beat me. He doesn't beat me. He doesn't like lay hands on me. And like trying, I think I was just trying to convince myself, you know?
He only slightly shoves me and spits in my face.
Yeah. Holds me down and like pins me down on the couch and, you know, smashes his hand in the wall next to my head, but it's never my head, you know? He throws things at me, but he doesn't hit me. Yeah. But he's never, but mum, just remember, he's never punched me with his fist in my face. So that's what I'm telling her. Like, he's nice because he hasn't punched me with his fist in my face. You know, and that's why he's nice. And, like, thinking about it now, that's so fucking stupid. So like, insane. Now I know better.
Yeah. But
back then, I thought for him to be abusive, he needs to punch me in the face.
Me too.
You know? Because
and I think a lot of people think so.
Yeah. I think a lot of people out there think that. But that's not true. That's not true at all. If you want to get out of the house and he's holding you, not letting you go. And there obviously there's a clear difference of like love trying for you to not leave, like begging you to stay. That's like one thing. But another thing is like in anger, holding you and like you're not allowed to leave, you can't go, you know, spitting on you, or like I had like bruises on my arms, but they weren't like punching bruises, they were like him holding me, and like broken windows, and that all of that is abuse. All of it is abuse. As soon as he touches you, it's like, yeah, not okay.
And it doesn't even have to be physical. Like, the mental stuff is also abuse, but keep going.
Yeah. But yeah, I was in my kitchen, in my mum's kitchen, and I just broke down. I was crying, and I was like, he's not nice, but again, he's so nice because he hasn't punched me in my face. And but, you know, and I didn't even see it. I was like, he's paying for trips and this and that, and like he does so much for me, but he didn't do anything. Because okay, so we started dating 2016 and summer of 2017, he got fired from his job. And we worked at the same company, so it ended with me not getting any more work because, well, he got fired because he was, they said he was stealing. And then they sort of like blamed me for stealing. So they didn't want to continue my contract, but they didn't have any proof that I was stealing because I wasn't stealing. But I, like, even though I, and just, like, I think it was wrong of them to not give me more work because I was a good worker. And I worked really hard, and I worked, like, I had two contracts, two different restaurants for the same company, and I worked basically 200%. I was at work, like, day and night, and I worked my ass off. And I did what I was supposed to do and stuff like that. And they didn't have any proof of me stealing because I didn't steal. There was no proof because it wasn't true. But then when, like, they knew I was in a relationship with him and they did have proof that he was stealing, then obviously I'm with him either, you know, in their head, I think they thought, like, I knew he was stealing and I didn't say anything. And I'm a manager at a different restaurant for their company. So that means that I must be stealing as well. And it's like the bar and the restaurant industry is kind of like a shitty industry. And a lot of people do steal a little bit here and there. But a lot of people don't as well. Like, most people are honest workers, you know? But I didn't, like, I remember my dad, because my dad has had ties with this company as well. He worked for a different company with, like, IT system. And the IT system we used at the bar were his company's IT system. So he had ties with this company as well. So he heard it from somebody else that Dick was fired because he was stealing. So he called me and he asked me, he's like, hey, is this true? And I'm like, nope, not true, not at all. It's like, but why was he fired? I was like, well, he didn't end up being fired, but he didn't want to fight it because he didn't want to work in a company that was accusing him of stealing. So he just quit because they gave him the option of either you quit or we fire you. And then the best option is to quit. But so I'm like denying it, completely denying it. But I didn't know too much about it. Like, even thinking back, I haven't seen him stealing. I knew he had a lot of tips. And in the back of my head, I was like, do everybody get this much tips, or are you doing something shady? I didn't know 100%, but he didn't like openly steal in front of me.
Right.
So I, of course, like, I defended him. And I was like, to my dad, I was like, that's not true. And my dad was like, okay, fine, I believe you. Because me and my dad, we have like kind of the same relationship as you have with your parents, where he's like, there's no rules, because I can tell my dad A, and then I can say, I don't want to tell you B. And that's fine, because I'm being honest. You know, as long as I'm being honest, I don't have to give him every detail. Even like, my dad knows about my relationship with Dick. Yeah. And I told him, like, that I reported him to the police. And my dad's like a big, big, big help when it comes to all of this. And he's like asking me questions. And certain things are really hard to tell your own family and your closest ones. And for him, if I tell him, this is something I'm not able to speak about with you because you are my dad and it's just too painful to tell you, he's like, okay, I got my answers and I respect that and I respect you. So he always respects my decisions, you know, as long as, and he doesn't even, sometimes he doesn't even agree with me, but he still respects me and my decisions. And he can think to himself, like, she's wrong for doing this or doing that. but I'll support her and she has to learn. Because I used to always tell him, my dad would be like, yeah, but I can only tell you about my mistakes and hope you learn from them. And I would always tell him, like, nah, I don't want that. I don't care about your mistakes. I'm going to make my own mistakes and I'm going to learn from my mistakes. I don't want to learn from your mistakes. I was like young and he always respected that. Like, I want to make my own mistakes and I want to learn from it. But I could always call him. I could always call him. Like, if I was in trouble, I could always pick up the phone and be like, hey, Dad, I need help. And I completely lost my train of thought. I don't even remember what we were talking about 10 minutes ago. Like, my short-term memory is like, I've been told for years that I have the worst memory. So now I think I just went so far that I believed it so much that I've just haven't even trained it. So now I just like a fucking goldfish.
Thank you so much for listening. If you are enjoying this podcast so far, please like and subscribe and think about leaving us a 5-star review. It really helps with the algorithm and it is so much appreciated.
And if you want to connect with us, we're on TikTok.
And Instagram.
And Instagram. It's silenced at 21.
Yep. So silenced at 21. So it's at the at symbol and then silenced AT21, the numerals.
Yes.
So check us out there. Silenced, the podcast, is co-hosted by Caitlin and Naomi. Join us for weekly visits into the spiral that was.